Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Welcome to this edition of The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and today I'm delighted to have with me a good friend all the way from India, Anne Butello, who is a leadership mentor, artist, humanitarian, and does things with tremendous awareness and spirituality. And we'll be talking, of course, all about that on the show. And it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me, Howard. It's such a pleasure to be here and share in this conversation.
Yes, and the only set question I ever ask is just tell us a little bit about your trajectory and how you got to be where you are today.
Oh, we can go down many paths, as I'm sure if you ask any individual that, they could start at any point in their life. But the way I normally answer this question relates to women who spend a lot of their life trying to match alpha males in the workplace and climb the corporate ladder. And I spent much of my life being very passionate about the businesses I helped grow, starting from advertising to real estate to marketplaces to the Web3 industry. And I realized as I delved deeper into the world of business, I found myself around a lot of men when it came to boardroom discussions and senior leadership teams. And one of the things that hit me was there are just 10 to 20% of women in the room with me the further to the top that I went. And this is not a rare story. I'm sure many women who are listening to me right now will completely relate to that. They will also relate to the fact that they segue from using their innate feminine qualities and gifts and tend to gravitate towards being more male-oriented just so they can fit into these teams and be heard and seen. And what ended up happening was one of my best friends went through a really difficult episode where, she had out of the blue got an autoimmune disease, and we had found her almost dead in her apartment, which was really, really devastating. She was a best friend, and she was also on the senior leadership team. And I just asked myself when I looked at her, when I went over to her apartment the day that she didn't show up to work, I said, how did we get here? This is an individual who is fit, healthy, right? Alive, like passionate. We were in the startup world, a very Google-ish kind of company, right? Very playful, but also very intense. And since it was in the marketplace industry, it was very male dominant as it got further up to the top. And I remember this best friend and me talking about how we wanted to work or support the wellness industry more because we felt there was a deep need for it as we saw, Gen Z entering the workforce, as we saw women and men as well, right, at senior positions facing burnout and just devastating psychological conditions because of stress and trauma that was not dealt with because they just had to show up and get on with it, right? And I remember that, just to summarize it, seeing this friend of mine go through everything that she went through was a huge gift to me because it made me realize what I didn't want to do anymore, which was change my innate gifts to suit the people around me. In fact, why couldn't I use my innate abilities as a woman to really help business, to help drive innovation in a direction that was more empathetic and driven for the greater good? This is something I learned after years of seeing my best friend kind of recover and going through my own journey of struggle after I was exited from that company in 2019, which opened me to the path of healing.
Yes, that's a great story. And in your past, independent of work situations, but just your life, I know that spirituality had come to play a big part of you.
Oh, absolutely. I think ever since I was young, I always believed in miracles, but I never really experienced it. Maybe because as a kid, I just kind of was playful. I used to, you don't get so deep into understanding how it is that miracles come about when you're just being playful and childlike, right? Until the need arises and you're thinking, God, I really need a miracle right now. However, having said that, in my childlike, playful state, I did witness miracles. And now when I look back, it was the more fun stuff. Like, I'll tell you a really funny incident that happened when I was around 21 years old. There was a beauty pageant that I had signed up for, and I was just doing it for fun. It was in my city, in Abu Dhabi in the UAE, and I didn't have at that time any pocket money for a fancy makeup artist and a hairdo. And I was just sitting there thinking, oh, I'm always lucky. Things just fall in my lap. And I was just radiating this energy of luck, excitement, this playfulness for life. And you will not believe what happened. I mean, this is such a superficial thing, but it speaks so much to the power of magnetizing from a space of playfulness and a space of desire and a space of excitement. I remember thinking that, and I got into my elevator in my building and I was heading to my apartment. And the person who stepped into the elevator with me was a salon owner who had a salon two buildings from me. And he just looked at me. He's like, you know what? I'm promoting my new salon, and I'm just handpicking a few women in the neighborhood for a makeover. And I laughed so loud. I said, that's great. Thank you so much. And I remember having that experience and thinking, could it really be that we can, with the power of our mind and the power of the sense of expansiveness, manifest anything that we want, even if it is just a playful little miracle like that? When we talk about miracles, people talk about, health and they and curing cancer and these deep, like very heavy experiences of miracles, which is profound and so beautiful. The reason I mentioned this story is because I do want to emphasize that miracles can even be playful and fun if we just believe in them more.
No, I think that's right. And I think we need to take each moment as the opportunity to be connected spiritually. And yes, miracles do seem to be related to sort of major, magnificent, major transformations, and that's great, but they can also apply to the things that you are talking about, right? Just something
Absolutely.
you needed, couldn't afford, totally off the radar, and then you run into somebody who says, "Oh, I'd like to do the makeup." No, it's I think that's right. And I think one of the problems that people have sometimes with spirituality is they do think it has to be sort of major, groundbreaking, unbelievable things, right? Like we've had numerous episodes about people recovering from fatal prognosis and diseases and stuff. And yeah, that is really amazing. But sometimes miracles are smaller, but still miracles.
And
One of
it
my
could just be lighthearted,
Oh
right?
yeah, I know it could be, and it doesn't have to be related to some massive change in the world. One of my miracles was my this was a few years ago, and I was just moving offices in to a with a lot of health professionals, and one of them was a woman who was in the spa business, and she actually was from England, even though this was in South Carolina. And we met, and I said, "Okay, well, let's get together." She said, "I'm doing some traveling, but let's get together after I come back." And I said, "Oh, okay, that's fine." So she's on a train in London, and the train has to stop for some reason, and everyone has to get out. And they're all mumbling, and the woman next to her said, "Oh, typical stuff." And this lady said, "Yeah, no, I'm in America now." And this woman says, "Oh, whereabouts are you?" And this lady said, "I'm in South Carolina." "Oh," says this woman, "my son's there." It was my mother. What are the odds of that?
Oh my goodness. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy.
I know. I mean, just ridiculous. So yes, I like that point very much, Anne, that these miraculous connections and things that happen don't always have to be sort of headline unbelievable changes, although those do. We need to look for those miracles in our life that perhaps have a little less impact on us, but are still amazing. And
Yeah.
tell us about the connection in our lives, right?
It's like any relationship, if people seek grand gestures, but in the end, it's the hug that you get on an unexpected day that can just feel so beautiful and special. It's the small things. And of course, that's not to discount when the big things do happen,
Of
you're just
course.
like, wow, the world has so much magic to be experienced if we can only be open to it.
Yes, absolutely open to it. I'm also thinking of another story I heard about. This couple met and they fell in love and they got married. And in the process, the families got together and they were sharing stories. And they said, "Oh, what about your travels?" And they both families said, "Oh, yeah, we were in, I think it was Athens or Greece, many years ago." And one family said, "Oh, yeah, we were there too. In fact, don't you remember?" She said to the woman, the daughter who's about to be married, "There was a guy who you are really drawn to, and you were like 3 and he was 6 and what have you." And they figured out that was who she was marrying.
Oh, that's so beautiful. It's so
I
beautiful.
know, I know.
And miracles also have a sense of humor. So right now, my fiance and me, the story behind that is quite hilarious because before my dad passed away, I remember him saying, "Oh, Anne, you'll probably find someone here." I never lived in India. I was always out. I was, traveling between the UAE and the States all the time. So I just thought it wouldn't be someone from my hometown that I'd ever kind of meet. And I remember telling my dad this. I said, "What are the chances of me marrying someone who lives 5 minutes away from me? None. I'm here for like a couple of weeks. I leave, I go back to Dubai or I fly to New York. I mean, it's not going to happen." And I said that and I laughed. And I remember him saying, "Never say never." And lo and
Now,
behold, right now, I'm engaged to a man who literally has been living 5 minutes away from my parents' home for the past 10 years.
wow, that's That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And it's even more amazing and beautiful when it is about love stories, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
And we'll talk more about that. Right now, we have to take a short break from for our wonderful sponsors, but we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm delighted to be talking with Anne Butello. We were talking about miracles that aren't necessarily headline makers or mean and life or death, but just things that happen in our lives that really defy the odds. And you were talking about your own example. And this happens all over the place, and especially where people, I'd like to unpack this a little bit, where people join specific communities and or reach out in some way. How do you see that kind of manifesting, or potentially a way of manifesting a miracle?
I think it all starts with the power of intention. So having a powerful intention and believing that you are always guided and everything is working out for you, even when it may not seem like it is, can help you get so far in life and help you reach and connect with people that are intended to be in your world to help accelerate whatever it is, your relationship goals, your wealth goals, your business goals, your family goals. It's all about setting the intention. So clarity of intention and then letting it go. So, you know, we look at all these communities that have made it really big in spiritual communities, like, you know, the Mind Valley community, for example, or the Dr. Joe Dispenza community, or the Fit for Service community. There are so many, the Flow Genome Project community. There are quite a few leadership trainings / spiritual communities where you have like-minded people who gather. And, you know, if you interview any of the people within those communities, I bet you each one of them will tell you a story of how they met someone within those communities who they were placed to meet in that moment in time that served a specific purpose. And it all comes down to intention, being open to divine guidance, so to say, and knowing through your own inner reflection what it is you may want or need. So, for example, when I went to the Singularity University advanced program in 2018, I had an intention to get to know people who would eventually be lifelong friends and help me better understand technologies so I could build out my own businesses or help people who are building businesses have the right ideas and mindset to do so that would impact the world for the greater good. And for me, having that clarity in my mind that I wanted to go there for community to build lifelong relationships helped me draw in a handful of people. Like there were 100 leaders in that room. Everyone was there for different reasons. Some wanted to connect with others who would then be, let's say, their tech outsource arm, right? Or they wanted to connect with someone who, could possibly get them certain talent into their company, whatever it may be, or learn about new technologies. For me, my intention was clear. I wanted to have lifelong friends who I could take along the journey to serve in helping me build businesses that I was building or help other people I knew who were building businesses in their own journey. And what ended up happening were the few people I met in those 7 days who ended up just being close to me, right? They till today are my good friends. We talk about different technologies. We talk about what's going on in their world. We've gone on trips together and explored the world together and learned about these technologies over the past, several years since 2018. It's because they wanted what I wanted. They wanted deep friendship and people they could over time grow with. And almost what we've ended up doing is mentoring each other over time when it was never something we stated, oh, we were looking for mentors. No, we were looking for deep friendships, people who are willing to grow together. And the few of us that stuck together, we wanted the same thing. So just being clear in what you want can help you draw in exactly that experience from a community. And I think that's really powerful intention, the word intention.
I agree. I think you need that clarity, but you also need it to be something that you're really inspired about, emboldened, even embodied. You've got to have that, the right energy and enthusiasm to go with the clear intention. Just having, well, it'd be nice. Yeah, I'd like to meet a few people one day or whatever, never, but really it not being energized at all. I think that's the key because it seems to me in the stories that I've covered and come across with miracles, the one thing that defined all of those people is they were incredibly energized about what they wanted. Yeah, there was energy.
Absolutely.
There was energy.
Absolutely.
And that I think does vibrate, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have a specific story, Howard, of an instance when you intended something and it kind of just unfolded?
Well, that's an interesting question about for me specifically. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about that. That's a good good question. Typically when we talk about remarkable things happening, I tell that story of my mom and my spa friend meeting just after we spoke on the phone. It's just bizarre, really. But I'm sure there have been things in my life where I have really desired them and wanted them and gone after them, and they have occurred. They have occurred. And probably one of them actually was my move from the UK to the US. Actually, as a kid, I was living in London. I was very into the US, very. I'd listen to the Armed Forces radio out of Europe late at night, and they had all the American culture in it. And I was really, really, really into it. And I was an exchange student. And then I got the opportunity, at sort of early-ish in my career to actually come to the US and and I've lived here ever since. So that might be, if I've really thought about my life and manifestation, that might be the one that really did determine my life and so many other things about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful big one. And would you say that sometimes if something is meant to be, it just unfolds even if you never intended it?
Oh, yes, of course. Or you might not be conscious necessarily of the intention, but it is something that you've dreamt about or thought about or wanted, you know? So
absolutely.
I think that happens a lot. And it's interesting you use the example of relationships. And I think that's I think that's true. I think those relationships hopefully do fall into your path.
And that leads me to the book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. If you have read it, that one is the flip side of what we were talking about, which was intention and clarity. Right? We live in a world of polarities. So one thing is having that intention and clarity. But to be honest, for a lot of people, it's very daunting. You know, people often ask the question, how am I supposed to know what I want? And in those moments, it's, well, be open. Be open to what the world shows you. Be open to what's around you and receptive to it to create that which you want and feel into the signals. Now, it sounds very woo-woo when you say it like that. But I think as you train yourself to remain open, all of a sudden just start to feel more expansive to life.
See what is possible beyond that. Yeah, I have a good story. This is one of my favorite stories. This is a young girl living in a poor Nigerian town with her grandmother. Mother was in the next town trying to sell stuff to make money. And for the first time, when she's like 8 years old, she sees a plane fly overhead. And she's so excited about it. She said, oh, I want to be a pilot. I want to learn all about that. Well, good luck with that, you know, a young girl in a poor Nigerian neighborhood. Well, cut a long story short, she studies very well. One time she takes a bus, 10-hour bus to the capital, gets online, files an application for to University of Alabama course in aerospace, what have you. And she gets accepted. And
how brilliant.
Well, here's the other part of it. So she flew to Atlanta and didn't realize there was another flight to Tuscaloosa and really didn't have enough money to get there. But people on the plane said, no, we'll pay for you. And they got her there. And she did this one semester at a time. In like six different schools. And, you know, she would do a semester, then work, try and make money for the next semester somewhere. And she got, her pilot's license. Yeah. And her doggedness of pursuing it through all sorts of challenges and hardships. Yeah. She got a pilot's license. She became an aeronautical engineer.
Oh, wow. Powerful. Powerful.
Knowing
these
what
stories
you want.
Move me to the core. These are miracles, right? Like this is a whole life that has had a series of miracles.
Yes,
that have been acted on. It also took courage for her to act in every opportunity she got. I think
absolutely,
that's not something that should be ignored, because life can present you with something, whether you're super wealthy and well off or from the slums of India, right? Life can present you with something. But if you don't have agency and the courage to act on it, right?
Hats
off to her. So beautiful to witness that.
Yeah, incredible story. And she did go through quite a lot of challenges on her way, moving from town to town, stuff like that, and really not having a whole lot of money. But she's an amazing person. She's well known in her country. She advocates for more women to get involved in science and, you know, engineering type things. So, yeah, just an incredible, unlikely story. Really unlikely story, right?
Oh, wow. And it's so amazing that you do the work of recording these stories for more people to learn of them, Howard.
Well, I think it's
Thank you
important.
for doing that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. But I think it is important for people to understand this happens and it is a possibility. And don't blow it off. Don't blow it off. Because
you
can do more things than you probably think you can.
Absolutely. Don't take anything for granted, right?
Right, right. Set your goals higher, you know? Yeah, really, really interesting. And, you know, it takes that creativity to see that. It takes the energy to embrace it and a lot of perseverance a lot of the time.
Oh, definitely.
To actually follow through, right? Yeah.
And I think that also the topic that comes to mind is intuition. Being able to be in touch with one's intuition to know what step to take, what's the next best step to take. That is an aspect of spirituality that is quite difficult to explain because it's more of a felt experience. And it comes with time of expansiveness. And in the story you just shared, this woman definitely was open and very masterful in using her intuition to know what steps to take to get to where she got and overcome all those challenges.
Yep. Very wise point and very wise. Let's take another quick break for our sponsors and then we'll be right back with Anne Botello in her amazing insights into miracles, big and small. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm talking with Anne Botello, all the way from India, although she has a very international track record and reputation. And we were talking about how these different miracles manifest. And I know you've got certain projects and things you've been working on and have dedicated your life and spirit to. Perhaps you could share one or two of them with the audience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think what we were speaking about before we took a break was surrender and not knowing necessarily what the next, mission is or purpose is in your life. And for me, when I moved from Dubai to India, just when COVID hit, I was meaning to fly back to Dubai, but I couldn't because flights got canceled. And it was definitely an act of surrender that kept me in India for long periods of time, even after flights resumed post-COVID. And one of those reasons was an NGO called Mahir, which was founded by a phenomenal woman and leader named Sister Lucy. She is a nun, but extremely secular, spiritual woman who had a desire to help the women and children who were on the streets of Pune here in India. And her story goes back now about 40 years when she picked up the first few women off the street. And I ended up meeting her the year I landed in India, just serendipitously. We had given a small donation to a church, and that church told us that they were going to send our gifts and donation to this NGO named Mahir. And just for context, the word Mahir means mother's home in Marathi. And I had no idea about this woman, this founder named Sister Lucy, but there were a few people who had started telling me about the phenomenal work, the amazing work she was doing across India. I got to meet her and I was absolutely blown away by the work that this NGO has done. They have 60 homes in 7 states in India, and they've had around 5,000 women and around 3,000 children pass through their homes. Some of them are still living there, but one of their core philosophies is to pick up these, tormented women and children off the streets. They could have been kicked out from, their families, or maybe just disowned for various reasons or abused in some way. Really, really traumatic stories. And what Maher does is tries to reintegrate them back into society, get them respectful jobs, integrate them back with families, help them find partners who are loving so that they can go on with their and create lives of their own. And when I got to meet this woman, Sister Lucy, I said, there's just my heart just burst open. And I knew that that was one of the reasons I was in India. It was almost like I would have never met her had I not been open to spending more time on my homeland. And in that moment, I just felt like I understood what Michael Singer in his book, The Surrender Experiment, was talking about. He was talking about being open to what life presents. And almost, I would say, the theme of his book was to bloom where you're planted. And that means even if you're a moving soul, I've traveled the world, I've visited over 40 countries, right? I do business in different parts of the world. But wherever you are, make the most of it. Stay open to what shows up. And Maher was one of the things that showed up. The reason I'm bringing up Maher is because I have such a crazy story, Howard, of surrender when it comes to Maher. Maher needed funds for a new home that they were opening in Bihar. It's a state in India in the north, which has the highest number of rape cases in India. So there's a lot of women that are in very devastating situations. And Sister Lucy wanted to open a home over there, and she needed funds for that. And I was talking to my good friend Phil, who's an artist in Sweden. And he said, you know what? We should do something for Maher. I was like, you know what? Could we do an auction? He's like, maybe. Why not? And I said, okay, we can plan it for next year. Let's try and do something where one of your paintings is put up for an auction and I can talk about Maher and we can just, do something for them. Can you believe 4 weeks later, just 4 weeks after that conversation unfolded, I was in Paris with Phil, who had an art gallery that decided that it was okay to do an auction, and we managed to raise 7,000 euros for one of his paintings for Maher in 4 weeks. Now, at that time, I didn't even have my Schengen visa because I'm Indian. I need to get the visa. So the chances of me getting all that and getting to Paris to actually talk about Maher, extremely slim. But Phil's like, I think you need to be here. And something in me just said, you are going to make it to that auction. And lo and behold, being a resident of Dubai, I managed to get an urgent interview. I got my Schengen visa within 2 weeks, and I flew in for that auction a day before it happened. That, for me, was absolute trust that things were going to unfold, but also, to be quite honest, not knowing what in God's green earth I'm doing. Why do I even need to be there? There was just this pull, right? I told my friend Phil, I was like, you can talk about Maher, or maybe you can get me on a Zoom call. And he's like, no, I think your energy needs to be here. And the way it happened, I just ended up being where I was intended to be, even against all odds of it not being possible. And that for me just absolutely blew my mind. I didn't I got housing by someone who, was within that circle of people who were putting that event together. It was so last minute because I didn't know I was going to be there till the day before. And I wanted to stay close to the place this was happening. And everything just fell into place. I just feel like that story for me brought me to tears because at that point in time, I didn't know exactly how I was going to serve Maher, but I knew I wanted to. And the opportunity was presented and the doors just opened. I just had to keep taking the step. I heard this little voice, you're going to have to fly to Dubai because I'm a resident of Dubai, so I have to apply for my Schengen visa from Dubai. Fly to Dubai. I'm like, really now, do I have to fly? This is the voice in your head, and you can feel it in your heart. And I'm like, oh, do I really have to fly to Dubai now? I doubt I'm going to get this visa, but I did it. I followed those little breadcrumbs that eventually brought me to where I needed to be, and I believe there that if people just stay open to surrendering, they will be where they need to be to serve the greater good.
Yes, I think it takes that force, that power, doesn't it? We can call it many things, but in many ways it's love, isn't it? Or
Yes.
good intention or love. I mean, that story you just told was full of your good intention towards the charity and wanting to do things. It's a very positive emotion, and you can call it love. I think it's not stretching it too much to say that's what it is. And that love is the good energy that we need, right? That is what it is. And that's what we're told, but it's not easy in today's world to follow that. But that's actually really what you're saying. There's so many opportunities if you embrace them, if you engage in them, and they're based on love in its broadest sense, then they've got a chance of happening. Really,
Absolutely. That's well
really,
said. Absolutely. And it wasn't just me who had that love for it. It was my friends over in Paris who wanted this to happen, over in Switzerland who wanted this to happen. And of course, not just us, but the women who needed it in the north of India. It's like all of that together then drives the force that needs to complete a project.
Yes. And I know you continue to work with that organization, and love it, really.
Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely humbling to be around such resilient people who have such traumatic beginnings and they still fight for a shot at life. They still can show up with a smile on their face, knowing that whatever is happening is preparing them for something greater. And there are so many stories of women and children who have gone to Maher, stepped out, ended up getting amazing jobs, creating a life for themselves. And it all comes down to love, right? This love for life. But the only way sometimes you can feel this love for life is feeling love from another. And in the darkest hours, that's where we have to be there for each other, because sometimes we can't see the light within. And all we need is a hug, and all we need is someone to remind them, right? That they are love, that we are love, and together we can make it through. I love this saying that we're all helping each other home, Howard. Because
Yes,
ultimately we
we
are.
are. Yes. And beautifully stated, and this has been a wonderful conversation, which I'm not surprised at knowing you. You bring so much light and love to whatever you are doing. So we really appreciate that. And now, if people want to reach you and find out more about you, what do they need to do?
They can go to annbothello.com. That's ANNBOOTHELLO.com. Or they can find me on LinkedIn and connect with me there. They can also email me at hello@annbothello.com.
Okay, we'll have that in the show notes too. Yes, so wonderful, wonderful. Any last thoughts for people? I guess you could probably easily summarize what we've been talking about, but let's have your last final thoughts.
Absolutely. Everything starts with love and ends with love. To keep your heart open and follow the signs that they show up.
Yes, thank you. Just beautiful. Beautiful Anne, it's always great talking with you and seeing you. And I'd encourage those who have been inspired by your conversation today to check you out and follow what you do and keep in touch with you for your wonderful recommendations, your spirituality, and your recognition of not just the possibility of miracles, but how you make them happen. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Howard. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
Likewise, take care. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.